Let's go ahead and take our Bibles and go to the book of Philippians chapter 3. The book of Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to just be reading two very familiar verses, hopefully familiar verses today, verses 13 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. And I'm going to go ahead and read these verses. When I'm done, I'll go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. All right, the Word of God says in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day, another opportunity to preach and just learn from your word. And again, Lord, this is your word. It's not ours. And we need you to teach us what you meant from it and in it. And we need you to help us to apply it to our lives correctly. And we just ask that you would do that today. May these things not go in one ear and out the other, but Lord, may we honestly seek to apply these things to our life, honestly seek to focus during this important time where the Word of God is preached. And I just pray for your blessing upon this church and upon these people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor, forgive me. What time did you want me to end? Right on the dot. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. Thank you. Years ago when I had finished high school, I went to Snow College in Ephraim, Utah for a year for architecture and carpentry. I wanted to go there and get my degree in that, and I wanted to do it in 3 years. I wanted to get my four-year degree in 3 years. And so in order to do that, in order to accomplish that, you have to take extra credits each semester. And so my first semester there, I was taking 23 credits at that school. And I think the average is probably around 17, maybe 16, 18, something like that. And so 23, it's an extra amount, but it's definitely doable. It's nothing that's impossible. But the thing that made it hard for me was my past. You see, all throughout school, growing up, I had cheated, okay? Through every class, basically, that I could, and it was easy. I mean, it was easy to cheat in my school. And like I'd mentioned, I think on Wednesday, I was an atheist, so I really just didn't feel bad about doing it. I'd never cared to do what is right necessarily, so I just cheated. And one class that I really cheated on was English class. Whenever there was a book report, I didn't want to spend hours and hours reading a book, so I'd just read the back of it, read a little bit of each chapter, ask someone what the book's about, look it up online, and you kind of get a general idea what the book's about and write a report, maybe get a D, call it good, That was me. And so when I got to college, I was now saved at this time. I was trying to follow the Lord. I'd started reading my Bible every day and praying every day. I'd started to witness to some of the guys that were in my dorm. And so I was just trying to do what was right at this time. Well, when I'd gone to college, I had never read an entire book in my life. I'd always cheated. I wasn't challenged in any sort of way, but it just took extra time because I just didn't care to do it that much. And so when I'm here in college and I've got all these credits and classes start starting to pile up, and I this biology class where we had this really thick book, and in biology class there's all these big words that you don't normally use on a daily basis that describe every component of a cell and things like that, and it was just extra hard. And so things started to get really difficult. And about halfway through the semester, I realized I was kind of in some trouble. I was busy, and I was starting to fall behind a little bit, and I had no life. I was basically in my dorm room or the library studying all the time in order to try and pass these classes. And so I had a decision that I needed to make right there. One, I could start cheating again. I did that all throughout high school and elementary school, and it worked out great. But I was now a believer. I was trying to follow the Lord, and I was trying to witness to the people around me, and that just wasn't an option anymore. So I had to throw that out the door. I could choose to fail some classes. maybe drop out of some classes, get some really bad grades in some of these classes. But like I mentioned, I'd started sharing the gospel with these people that were around me, these Mormons in my dorm, and you know, they were all getting good grades. They weren't failing any classes, and I just didn't think it was the best option. I didn't think it was the best testimony for me to choose to fail some classes or drop out. And so the other option that I had, and really the only option I had then, was to just simply press forward for the short period of time, to choose to just work extra hard and toughen it out and realize that the semester is only, it's halfway through, and before I know it, it'll be over with. I'm going to lose some sleep. I'm really not going to have much fun, but it'll be worth it. And so that's the decision I had to make, to just press forward. I don't know what the future looks like in this country. If things kept progressing how they have been the past 5 years, who knows? In my lifetime, Christians could start facing persecution. But even without that, believers face difficulties. Okay, loved ones die. Believers' lives get busy. You know, things start to get overwhelming. And when these times come, I don't think we have the option to just quit on God. Okay, I don't think we have the option to say, you know what, I'm busy today. I'm just not going to read the Word of God today. I'm just too busy. I don't think we have that option. I don't think we can say, you know, I had some loved ones die. I've just had some difficulties in my life. I got to take a break from praying for a little bit. I don't think we have that option. I don't think we could say, things are getting crazy. Life's getting hard. I'm just going to stop sharing the gospel. I'm going to stop coming to church. I'm going to stop doing whatever it is that the Bible tells me to do because life got busy or life got crazy. I don't think as Christians we have that option. C.E. McCartney said this, "Between an airplane and every other form of locomotion and transportation, there is one great contrast. You see, the horse, the wagon, the automobile, the bicycle, the locomotive, the speedboat, and the great battleship all can come to a standstill without danger, and they can all reverse their engines and their power and go backwards. But you see, there is no reverse about the engine of an airplane. It cannot back up. It dare not stand still. If it loses its momentum and forward drives, then it crashes. The only safe direction for an airplane is in its forward and upward motion. And likewise, for the Christian, the only safe direction for the Christian to take really is forward and upward, to keep pressing forward. You see, it's a dangerous place for a Christian to have become idle. That's dangerous. Christians need to continually be growing in the Lord. Christians need to continually be learning from His Word. Christians need to continually be serving. It's a dangerous place to become idle. It's an even more dangerous place when a Christian starts to backslide. The only safe direction for the Christian is forward and upward. And so the question today is, am I pressing forward for Christ? Am I growing in the Lord? Am I ever learning His Word? And am I pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Am I doing that? I believe that in order to press forward, we need to have a couple mindsets. And the first one is a humble mindset. We must have a humble mindset. Look with me again at verse 13. This is Paul the Apostle speaking. And he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." So Paul the Apostle, the one that had done all these great things for the Lord, who had received revelation from God, who had taught all these believers, and even Paul the Apostle says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I count not myself to have arrived, to have come to where I need to be spiritually, to where I don't need to grow anymore. I've learned all that I could ever learn. I count not myself to have apprehended," is what Paul says. Years ago, I was part of a camping ministry team where we would travel from one camp to another, preaching and sharing the gospel and being counselors and things like that. And we were at this camp in Montana. And while we were at this camp, the camp wanted us to take the kids up to the top of a mountain, the peak of a mountain, go on this long hike. And I'd never really been to the peak of a mountain before. I always thought that, you know, when you got to the peak, it would be like pointy on top. It's not. It's quite flat a lot of times when you get to the peak of a mountain. And so they had us go up to the top of this mountain in stages. You know, the fast kids that wanted to run up and were athletic, they'd go first. And then all the others that were, you know, slow and not fit would be in the very back and would take a long time, you know. And so for some reason, they had me lead that first group. And they shouldn't have, because those kids killed me. I mean, that was tough stuff. High elevation. Anyway, so we get to the top of the mountain, the peak, and since we had beaten everyone up there, we had lots of time. So we basically walked around the peak of that mountain, which wasn't really too far. And so whenever we would get to one side of the mountain, the north or the east or the west or south side of the mountain, and you looked out, you could see as far as the eye could possibly see. Okay? When you were on the peak of this mountain, there was nothing that even came close to being as high as you were. You were higher than anything that you could possibly see. And so whatever side you went to, you could see as far as the eye could possibly see. And so when we decided to get off this mountain and go back to camp, as silly as it sounds, you know, we can't go straight to get off this mountain. Okay, you can't go up when you're on the peak of a mountain. There's only one way to go when you've reached the peak, and that is down. And likewise, for the Christian, when the Christian has arrived, when the Christian has apprehended, when they've reached the peak, there's only one way for them to go, and that is down. When the Christian has gotten that proud, thinking they've reached the peak of the mountain, there's only one way for them to go, and that is down. Now, a Christian can never come to a place where they've reached the peak in the Christian life. They've learned all that they could learn from the Word of God. They've grown spiritually. In any area possible, they don't need to grow anymore. They've served enough. They don't need to serve the Lord anymore. It's a Christian can never come to that point, but oftentimes Christians get that type of a mindset. I know for myself, I've read the book of Philippians, I don't know how many times, 30 times maybe, I don't know. You know, I know this book inside and out. I've memorized verses inside of it. I have it all marked up. And it seems like oftentimes when I've come to it in the past, you know, I just read right through it. I came to it thinking, you know, I've learned all that I could learn from it. I know this book so well, and I just skim right through it. Without first thinking, you know what, every verse has a wealth of wisdom and information that I could glean from it if I just pray to the Lord and ask Him to help me. Sometimes we get a mindset like that. Sometimes we get this mindset of, man, I've not sinned. In this area for so long, I guess I've just reached the peak in this area. You know, I could never fail in this area again. But a Christian can never reach that area. You know, we could fall into any sin. The Bible tells us don't be proud because we can still fall. I remember when I was in Bible college, one of my teachers brought up a point that stuck with me. He said, in his experience at that college, the type of people, the type of students that often fell into false doctrine at that school and had to get kicked out or removed were the intellectual type. Okay, the ones that they really were smart and they wanted to show everyone how smart they were. You know, in class, they wanted to answer all the questions as quickly as possible, let everyone know how smart they were. When they, at our Bible college, whenever we had lunch or dinner or something like that, they'd ask a student to pray. Sometimes these guys would pray for like 5-10 minutes with all these ginormous words. And, you know, I got to go to work and I'm hungry. I just want to eat. And it's like, what are you doing, man? Just pray for the food, you know? And it just seemed like these guys wanted to show everyone how spiritual they were and how intelligent they were. And so when the teacher mentioned that, you know, I just made a mental note of that. And I jotted down some people in my head that kind of fit the bill. People in my freshman class that I had seen that were like that. They wanted to show everyone how smart they were. And sure enough, within the next 2 years, every single one of those people got kicked out of the college because of false doctrine. I think they all went into covenant theology or something like that. I think they're all Catholic, basically, today, how odd that is. And I started to think, why? Why is that the case? And I kind of came to the conclusion it's probably because they really are so smart, but because they're so smart, they're relying on themselves to teach themselves the Word of God, rather than relying on the Lord and rather than having other people teach them. They're so smart, they don't need anyone else to teach them. But you know, this book right here, the Bible, you know, this is God's word, okay? It's not my word. Whatever he wrote in here, he knows what he meant by what he said. You know, we need to ask the Lord to teach us what he meant. You know, oftentimes, I don't know if this is just a newlywed thing, but oftentimes my wife and I will be talking with each other and she'll say a phrase and I'll say, oh, this is what you meant by that. And she'll say, no, that's not what I meant at all. I'll tell her, no, that's exactly what you meant. That's exactly what this phrase means. When you say this, it means this. Well, that might be the case, but that's not what I meant. And as much as I want to try and argue with my wife about what she meant by what she said, honestly, she's the only one that can really tell me what she meant. You know, she's the one that said it. It was her intents behind it. She knows what she meant. And the same goes with God and his word. I want to read some verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that talks about this. Verse 11 says this, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man, which is in him?" It's exactly what I was saying with my wife. Continues, it says, "Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Did you get that? I'm going to read that one more time. 1 Corinthians 2:11. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." So you don't know the things of God. The Holy Spirit does. Okay? You don't know them. God needs to teach you what he meant from his word. Let's continue. It says in verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Can I just encourage you with this one thing? When you come to the Word of God, can I encourage you to spend a good amount of time praying to the Lord and asking him to teach you from it? Begging the Lord to show you what his Word means. You know, there's thousands, literally, that's not an exaggeration. There's thousands of religions or denominations that all call themselves Christianity. They call themselves Christian. Religions that are based off of the Bible. Thousands of them. Baptist is just one, I guess you could say. And all of these people believe differently concerning what the Word of God says. That's why they're their own thing. If they believed like everyone else or like another denomination, they would be with that denomination. But they all believe something different. And my question is, why? How is it that so many people can come to the Word of God and get so many different things? How is it that so many people can come to just one doctrine of the Word of God, one passage in the Word of God, and get so many different things? I think it's because people are teaching themselves the Word of God. Too many people are relying upon their own intellect, their own ability, and their own skill, rather than pleading to the God of heaven, "Lord, I am finite, I am fleshly, I am not the smartest person in the world, I need you to teach me. Please teach me your word." I think that's what we need to do. We need to plead to the Lord for him to teach us. You see, the only way to keep pressing forward in the Christian life is through God. And the Bible says if we are proud, okay, if we don't have this humble mindset, if we're proud, God is going to resist us. How can we keep pressing forward for Christ when he's resisting us? How can we be pressing forward for anything good if God is resisting us? I want to read you some verses in James chapter 4. Verses 6 through 10 says this, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness." And get this, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Always remember this, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know, you can have a person who, they've got all the skill, they've got all the intellect, they've got all the experience in certain area, preaching, sharing the gospel, teaching, whatever it is, and that person's proud about it. And the Bible says God's going to resist that person. Okay, and on the other hand, you can have someone who is really not the best at what they're doing. They're not the best song leader in the world. They haven't done it much. They don't have much skill. They're not the best singer. But they realize that. And they ask the Lord to help them anyways. They ask the Lord to use them anyways. And you know what the Bible says? The Lord's going to use that person. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. Can I encourage you to have a humble mindset? It is so important in the Christian life. We need believers to continue pressing forward for Christ. And if you're proud, that is not going to happen. So the first point is have a humble mindset. Like what Paul said in verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended. But notice with me, secondly, we need to have a hard-working mindset. Let's go ahead and continue verse 13. It says this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. You know, I believe one of the biggest hindrances to simply pressing forward for Christ every day is laziness. You see, it's a hard thing to every day want to learn some more from the Word of God. It's easy to just check something off. Okay, I'm going to read the Word of God because I'm convicted about it, but you just read through it and never get anything from it. That's easy, okay? But it's hard every day to say, you know what? I want to learn something from this today. I want to get something from this. I want to apply this to my life. It takes hard work to do that every single day. It's hard work to every single day want to grow in the Lord. To say, you know what? Yesterday I failed in this area. Yesterday I wasn't the best in this area. Today I'm going to try and make it my strength. Today I'm going to push forward and try hard to not do this today. To every day to be consciously thinking, how can I grow in the Lord? How can I sharpen myself in a certain area? It takes hard work. It's easy to not think about those things and just go through life without any thought about how to grow. You know, when we look at the life of Paul, we find an extremely hardworking person. And there's two things I want to talk about concerning Paul. And the first thing is all of the things that he had already done for the Lord. Okay, when we look at the life of Paul, we see that Paul had traveled all around the world basically at that time, starting churches. And everywhere he went, he was leading people to the Lord. He was discipling people. When we look at the epistles, oftentimes we find Paul saying things like, every day I'm praying for you. Okay? I read the book of Philippians, Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, and we find the same thing. Every day I'm praying for you. As often as I think about you, I'm praying for you. And he says that in almost all of his epistles. And certainly he had started many more churches than what we have here. Than these epistles here. He'd probably started lots of churches. Can you imagine how many people Paul was praying for on a daily basis? Paul was praying for a lot of people. And so Paul had started a lot of churches. He led a lot of people to the Lord and discipled them. And he's always praying for all these people. Everywhere he traveled, he probably had to do it by foot. Maybe he had a horse at sometimes. I doubt he really did. He probably walked most everywhere he went from town to town. And when he was evangelizing in that town, and even while he did all of this stuff, the Bible says that he was a tent maker, meaning that he worked a job in order to provide for his needs. Now, there's some times in the Bible where it says that Paul received wages from churches, but he says he did that to teach them to give. But in general, he was a tent maker. He did not receive wages from all the churches in order to provide for his needs. He provided for his own needs through working. And so we see that Paul had done so much for the Lord. But when we combine that with all of the difficulties that Paul had gone through, it makes it that even that much more amazing. I want to read you some verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And inside these verses, Paul describes all of the difficulties he had gone through in his life at this time. Now, we're in the book of Philippians, where Paul is talking about, he's pressing forward. We're in the book of Philippians. This is written after 2 Corinthians. So when Paul's writing this in Philippians, certainly he had gone through a whole lot more. But here's everything Paul had gone through at this time of his life. In 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, the apostle says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In laborers more abundant, in stripes above measure." Did you get that? Stripes above measure. He can't even count how many times he was whipped. In prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Did you know that? Paul died a couple times apparently. "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." What that means is on five different occasions, Paul was scourged 39 times. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Did you hear all the things that Paul had to go through? You know what? I bet when Paul woke up in the morning, I bet it hurt him to get out of bed. Just something simple like that. You know, I'm 29 years old. I'll be 30 here soon. And, you know, I've never really been through anything major. I've never been in a car wreck. I've never broken some major bones or anything like that. And for some reason, sometimes I get up in the morning and it feels like I just got beat up, you know? So it feels like someone was beating on me all night because I'm just in pain. My hips hurt and my lower back hurts, and I don't know why. I haven't really gone through anything. Paul went through a lot. I bet when he got up in the morning, he hurt. We talked about how Paul walked pretty much everywhere he went, most likely, and he was a tent maker. I bet when he walked, he was in pain. Probably had a limp. There's probably lots going on. I bet it hurt him to walk. I bet it hurt him to do whatever it is that he did. And so while Paul had already done so much for the Lord, okay? Remember, he started all these churches, led all these people to the Lord, discipled these believers, was always praying for people, was a tent maker, doing all this by foot. And though Paul had already been through so much difficulty, yet Paul still chose that every day he's going to press forward for Christ. You know, if there's anyone who could say, you know what, I've done so much for God, I've been through so much for God, it's time for me to just do nothing. It's time for me to sit back. It's time for me to just be idle. That would be the Apostle Paul. He'd be the only one that seemingly would have the right to do that because of everything he'd gone through and all that he had already done for God. But yet Paul did not have that mindset. Paul was in the midst of death. And we see that he was still going to keep pressing forward for Christ. He wasn't content on being where he was at the end of his life. He still was pushing forward for Christ at the end of his life. Can I tell you what? Paul had a hardworking mindset. Paul had resolved that for the rest of his life, he's going to give that to the Lord. He's going to do all that he can for the Lord, because he understood that this life here on earth is so short. In comparison to all of eternity, life is so short. Just like my time at my college. I was halfway through the semester. I just had a short period of time. I may as well just push through it, because really it's a short period of time and it'll be done. And likewise here on this earth, we're here for a short period of time. Wednesday I talked about how life's a vapor. We're here for this short period of time. And Paul realized that. And so because of that, he chose to just give his all to the Lord every day of his life. You know, I praise the Lord for the Apostle Paul and the example that he is to us. You know, oftentimes I feel like we need a personal example. And I know I have a personal example in my life, someone that I've watched and saw, wow, this person's so hardworking. I want to be like that. It was the dean of students at my college. At our Bible college, in order to get your four-year degree, you had to intern under someone for your fourth year, basically applying everything that you learned in order to get your degree. And so I became the assistant dean of students my fourth year at that college. So basically I was like the assistant pastor to the men there. And I didn't really know the dean of students very well, Mr. Huseby. I didn't know him very well before all of this. But after I started interning under him, I learned this guy is such a hardworking person. And I learned personally how to be hardworking. You see, it's one thing for me to go to my job and do what I'm told, okay? And that to a degree, that's a hardworking person, especially compared to the rest of the people out there in this country today who can't even show up on time and just sit all day at work. You know, I guess that's a hardworking person, but really, biblically, a hardworking person is someone who's going to go above and beyond, someone who's going to go the extra mile. You know, the Bible talks about whenever a Roman would come and say, hey, carry this bag of mine for a mile, Jesus said, take it 2 miles. Okay, that's a hardworking person right there. Someone who does it for a mile, they're doing that because they had to. Someone who does it two, they're choosing to do that. And so I learned that from this guy. Whenever we would be walking around doing something and he saw something that needed to be done, even though it wasn't his job, he wasn't the groundskeeper, he wasn't the maintenance guy, he wasn't any of these types of things. Whenever he saw something that needed to be done, he just did it. He saw a sprinkler that was broke, he would just go and fix it. He saw a light bulb that was broke, he would go and replace it. He saw someone that was moving into town, he would just go and offer to them, hey, can I help you move in? Someone was moving out of town, hey, can I help you move out? Whenever he saw something that needed to be done, even though it wasn't his job, he just went and did it. And I tell you what, I learned so much from that. I learned so much about how to be a hardworking person. You know, before I became a dad, people told me all the time, oh, your life's going to completely change. Life's going to get busy. And I believed them, but I didn't quite understand. And I know what they mean now. You know, life's pretty busy. It's a lot more harder, you know, with an extra little baby to take care of that can't do anything for itself. My wife and I, we're going to, Lord willing, be in Springville in the next 7 months maybe. And people tell us all the time, oh, that's going to be hard work. There's going to be a lot to do. That's going to be so difficult. And, you know, I'm not there yet. I can't fully understand it, but, you know, they're probably right. Life's probably going to get really busy. But even though I'm a dad and, Lord willing, I have more kids, and even though I'm going to start a church, and even though things are going to happen in life, I can't choose to just get lazy or choose to not be hardworking, okay? Just because things start happening and piling up, I can't, like I said before, just say, I'm not going to read the Word of God anymore. I'm not going to pray to the Lord anymore. I'm going to do it less. I'm going to stop evangelizing so much. I can't stop doing what I know the Lord wants me to do just because life gets busy. And so these two are a great example to me of someone who's hardworking. Paul, even though he had done so much and been through so much, every day he's still pressing forward for Christ. Can I encourage you to have a hardworking mindset like the Apostle Paul? And can I encourage you also to resolve to do that right now? You see, if you wait till when those moments come, oftentimes you're going to make the wrong decision. Emotions and whatnot's going to take over, and you're not going to want to do it. But if you make a commitment right now, you know what, Lord? Whenever life gets difficult, whenever life gets busy, I'm just going to keep pressing forward for you. I'm going to keep just being hardworking for you. It's a whole lot easier to be like Daniel in the book of Daniel chapter 1, where it says Daniel purposed in his heart. He was not going to defile himself. Purpose in your heart to be hardworking no matter what. Can I encourage you to do that? Notice with me, thirdly, and most importantly, at a heavenly mindset. Okay, a heavenly mindset. Let's read verse 14. It says this, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, when I had gone to college at Snow College for architecture and carpentry, did you know I actually went there out of a temporal, fleshly, earthly mindset. I didn't go there out of a heavenly mindset. And the reason was because 2 years in a row prior to that, I had felt the Lord leading me to go into Bible college. I had felt the Lord leading me to preach full time for Him. But then I would come back from that youth conference And I'd be back with my old friends doing the same things I did before, and that desire would just start wearing off. And so that happened to me my senior year. I'd gone to the youth conference. I was all on fire for the Lord. I came back, and it just kind of went away. And when the time came when I needed to decide where I'm going to go for college, my desires had changed. And I now wanted to just make money. That's really all that I wanted to do. Now, someone can go and become a carpenter or an architect or any of those things and be in the will of the Lord. You know, they could be doing the Lord's will with that if they know that's what the Lord wants them to do, if they're using that for the Lord. You know, you go and you work your job doing whatever it is, and you use that to be a testimony to people and share the gospel with people, certainly. But I was going to the school because I just wanted to make money. I was doing this for me and only me, and it wasn't for the Lord. And I made a compromise. Okay, I'm going to read my Bible and pray. You know, that was a compromise I made. But that decision in of itself was an earthly, fleshly, temporal mindset. It wasn't a heavenly mindset. Paul said that he pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, I was pressing toward the mark for the prize of a wasted life. And you know, that's all that this world and your flesh can ever offer you. If you choose to day by day just do the will of your flesh, do the will of this world, do what other people want you to do, you're going to reap nothing. Okay? Your works will be burned up. But if you choose to do the will of the Lord, you will receive rewards in heaven, the Bible says. I want to read you Matthew 6:21. It says this, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Did you know that someday everything we do will be tried by the fire of God? If the works which we have done on this earth are for the Lord, we're going to keep those things. Okay, those things are going to last. But if those things which we have done here on earth are for ourselves, the Bible says those things are going to burn up. It describes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says this, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Can I ask you this question? What type of works do you have? Are they gold, silver, precious stones, things which when you throw in a fire, they withstand? Things which you've done for the Lord? Or are your works, which you've done here on this earth, wood, hay, and stubble? Things that when you throw in a fire, they burn up. Things which you did for yourself, for the world. Can I encourage you to build up gold, silver, and precious stones? Build up those things. Do things for the Lord. Do all to the glory of God. Do all with the mindset that Paul has, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, not in yourself or in the world, but in Christ Jesus. I had mentioned this on Wednesday, how I grew up an atheist. And you know what? When you are an atheist, when you live an atheistic life, it's really a miserable, sad life. Because you believe that someday you're just going to die and cease to exist. Okay? And so you also believe that everyone else is just going to die and cease to exist. And so there's really not any point to doing good. What's the point? You know, if I do good to you, you're just going to die and cease to exist someday, and so am I, so it's really never going to matter. You know, that's how I believed. And can I tell you, that's a miserable life, to go through life without a purpose. Did you know people need a purpose in life? When you look at if you watch the news, the world is always trying to find a purpose. Oh, we got to save the earth and do everything we can for this. Oh, we've got to, and they just pour all their time and everything into this. They want a purpose, not realizing the Lord's already given them a purpose in their life. And so when I was an atheist, I had no purpose in life. It was all pointless. It was all vain. And I'll tell you what, it's a miserable life. I would never have admitted it to you. I never would have told that to you. In fact, I probably wouldn't even admit that to myself. I would suppress those types of thoughts. But it was miserable. And so I don't know if it's because of my past of being an atheist, but today, knowing that I'm saved, today knowing that I now have a purpose in life, the Lord has told me what He wants me to do with my life. And knowing that I can do that, and the Lord's going to reward me and He's going to bless me for that, it brings me so much joy and peace and satisfaction and contentment and a bunch of other things that, you know, even those words don't fully describe. I can't even fully describe to you what I feel knowing that I get to serve the God of all creation. And again, I don't know if it's because of my past as an atheist, but I'm just so thankful that I now have a purpose in life. And when I find myself doing the will of the Lord, fulfilling that purpose, oh, you know, that's just, that made my day. You know, oh, I'm so happy. I'm so joyful. I'm so content. Every time I go and I share the gospel with someone, even though they didn't trust Christ, you know, I'm thankful that I'm doing what I know the Lord wants me to do. But even more so, when they do trust Christ, it's all worth it. I mentioned to you guys, I was at your uncle's church this morning preaching, and a lady came forward and professed Christ as her Savior. She got saved. And I tell you what, those types of moments are just, I can't even explain to you. I can't even begin to explain to you how I feel every time someone trusts Christ as their Savior. You know, when I come and I study the Word of God, and I try and memorize it, and I try and learn it, all obviously with asking the Lord to teach me, and I find a believer that needs help in some area, and I'm able to help them. I'm able to give them some biblical counseling, some biblical help. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so glad that I spent time studying and learning the Word of God so that I could help someone. I'm so glad for that. All these times that I've come to church and grown in the Lord, and times when I've been able to help believers, times when I was able to just be encouraged myself, I tell you, all those times are just so wonderful. It brings me so much joy and peace and satisfaction and contentment. And because of that, I just want to keep serving the Lord for the rest of my life. The more I serve Him, the more I do the will of the Lord, the more I fulfill this purpose in my life, the more I want to. It's kind of like oftentimes people say, oh, I can't share the gospel. And they never really have. Well, I learned for myself, as I started sharing the gospel, I started to learn how to share the gospel, and I started to have more of a burden to share the gospel. As I began reading the Word of God, I started to learn how to read the Word of God, and I started having more of a desire to learn the Word of God. Do you get that? As I first started praying, I tell you what, I probably did lots of things wrong. I don't know if you can do something wrong while you're praying, but I probably prayed for a lot of worldly things, but I found that as I started praying more, I started having more of a desire to pray, and I started to pray even more. You know, when you start doing what the Lord wants you to do, it gets easier, okay? You want to. Basically, when you form a habit, it's a whole lot easier to do. And so I'm thankful that the Lord has given me a purpose in life, but I'm also, you know, what also helps push me to just push forward for Him every day is simply just thinking about what He did for us. You know, when you think about how the God of all creation, okay, left the glory of heaven to become a man, and He knew who we were. He knew what we were going to do. He knew that by Him coming down as the Messiah, we were going to kill Him. And yet He still chose to. He knew how horrible we were, how horrible we are, and yet He still chose to die for us. You know, if I knew all that you've ever done in your life or all that you've ever done in your life, I don't know if I'd want to die for you, just being honest. And I tell you, if you knew all the bad things I've done, you probably wouldn't want to die for me either. Christ knows everything that everyone has ever done, and yet He still chose to come down to this earth and die for us. Those horrible people out there that have done wicked things, the ones that tried to catch the Walmart on fire, Christ died for them, you know. The fact that the God of heaven would leave the glory of heaven, become a man, knowing that He was going to be killed by man, knowing how wicked man was, and yet He still went onto the cross, took our sins upon Himself, and suffered the wrath of God in our place. To me, that makes me want to just push forward for Him. The fact that He pushed forward for me makes me want to just give Him everything in my life. My wife and I, we're going to be going to Utah to plant a church, and one of the reasons why I feel the Lord burdening me to go to Springville is simply because since I've been saved, I've seen so many people come and go. So many people come to Springville, Utah County, and just Utah in general, come try and start a church or come and pastor an existing church and leave, and come and leave. And you know, It's broken my heart to see this, to see Christians constantly quitting, see pastors constantly quitting, seeing churches constantly closing their doors in the state. Something starts up, lasts for 3 years, and then closes its doors. It's broken my heart. But you know, it's not something that's just in Utah. When you look around this country, we see churches closing their doors all the time. We see believers falling into sin. We see pastors falling into sin. Pastors falling into false doctrine. Pastors quitting the ministry. We see teenagers going off to college and falling away from the Lord and going to college and falling away from the Lord time and time again. And we're just constantly sending all of our teenagers, all of our kids back to secular college and seeing them all fall away from the Lord. I see in our country today a culture in Christianity of quitting. Christians quitting so easily. When things get difficult, when things get busy, they quit. The last thing we need is for more Christians to quit. Last thing we need in Utah is for more churches to close their doors, more pastors to come and then just leave and quit. We need Christians that aren't going to quit. Christians who say, you know, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep doing what I need. I know the Lord wants me to do. We need more Christians like that. This world is dark and this world needs the gospel. That's our job while we're here on this earth. We're supposed to spread the gospel to the world. But when we're quitting and failing and falling and shutting the doors of the churches and deciding I don't really want to follow Christ anymore, it's not a very good testimony to the world. We're not being much of a light. Can I encourage you to be different in this country, be different in this world, be different than the average Christian, and say, you know what, no matter what, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit on the Lord. I'm going to keep pressing forward for Him every day. How important that is to do every day. You know, I'm just going to press forward for the Lord. No matter what comes, I'm going to keep giving my all to Him. So can I encourage you to have a humble mindset? God will resist you if you're proud. You can't press forward if you're proud. Have a hard-working mindset. Resolve right now, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. God didn't promise it to be easy. And have a heavenly mindset. You need to have the Lord in order to accomplish that. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for your word. Thank you for the life of Paul and just what you did in his life to be an example to us. And I just pray that we would pattern our life after Paul as he patterned it after Christ. And may we seek to just give our all to you. May we resolve right now to never quit on you, Lord. Never quit doing what we know you've called us to do. Never to stop being faithful. But may we be found faithful, Lord. I pray you'd bless this church. I pray, pray that you'd protect them from the wiles of the devil. Pray that you would use them to be a light in this city, in this area. And just pray that there would be a revival in this state, in the city, in this country for you. We just pray for the salvation of souls everywhere and that you just continue to grow these believers here. Lord, bless this church, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.